We worship you, Father. Daddy God, we exalt you. We exalt you, Lord. We praise and magnify you. We thank you so much for Jesus. So much for Jesus. So much for the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord. We praise and magnify you. We praise and magnify you. We praise and magnify you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Abba. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you, Daddy. We worship you, praise and magnify you. Blessings and glory and honor and thanksgiving. Blessings and glory and honor and thanksgiving. We praise you. We love you, Abba. We love you. 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 We praise you, Jesus. Worthy Jesus. Worthy Jesus. Worthy Jesus. Worthy Jesus. We praise and magnify you. We anticipate your great grace in this time of gathering. And when the family comes in, we meet together, bring in the harvest. We thank you, Father. We give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory in that which is to be, that which is to come. We, Father, we worship you. We glorify you. There's none like you. There is none like you, Father. There is none like you. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory. Why don't you give somebody a great big squeeze this morning, a hug, and say hi. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just lift your hands and just magnify him with me. You are all a part of that. We worship you, Father. Thank you for your great grace. Thank you for your great grace. Your healing virtue. We love you, Abba. I glorify you. Greatly, sing it if you know it, please. Hallelujah. I sing praises to your name. Thank you. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord. Luke chapter 12, these are familiar verses of Scripture, but nevertheless really worth considering in our life as we give. Verse 13, Luke 12, 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things in which he possesseth. And he spake a parable. Now he's going to show a parable, an application to what he just said. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns. Note the word barns, because that's going to be significant in another scripture that we read. And build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, Thou fool, this day thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, I will say this, and that's the only part we'll read there. God's not against using, you know, good sense and planning for the future and having a savings account and having a retirement. That's okay. But the problem with the flesh is that really there's never ever enough. The proverb says the horse leech has two daughters, and the daughters say, give me, give me, give me. In other words, there's no end to the flesh having to pad itself for security. If the flesh is involved, if you have 5 million, the flesh wants 10 million. Because it's just a greater security about ever running out. Man's mentality is to dam up, and store up. That's the security of man. Now here's the security of God. Let's read in Matthew chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 26. Well, we'll look at verse 19. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where the moth and rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, or else he either will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve mammon, God and mammon, or God and, literal translation, money. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into, there's the word, barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is the key. And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Here's the two differences. Is man says, I got to always have a, when man, Christian or non-Christian, Christian that never enters into the fullness of the security of he is. See, the difference is this, provision in him and security, maybe this is the better word, security in him is a river. It's always like, it's always flowing. My backup is God, okay? Security in the flesh, whether Christian or non-Christian, is I got to build my barn. I need to fill my barn up. And if I can, I need to build two barns. Or I need a backup, and I need a contingency. And I need a contingency on the contingency. Let's get about, okay, if everything goes awry, I need another, and I need another, and another. God says, in my kingdom, there is no thought, anxiousness of having to build another or another or another. It's always a river flowing. It's always a continual thing, and you don't have to stand in anxiousness. And that does a lot. I'm not trying to extract something from you. I'm just telling you, in every decision of life, it has a world of the way that you perceive who God is and how you should be doing things. And it does. It has a part in how you give, too, because it's like if fear controls your life, then it'll be like, I don't know how much, do I have enough in my barn, or, you know, is this going to take away from my second barn or my third barn? So, hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you and we praise you that you're the one that continually speaks to our hearts. You manifest your glory. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. Speak to our hearts again this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all good things. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you're giving this morning, you want credit, just there's an offering envelope someplace close to you, if you would please. Hallelujah. Going to give you an opportunity to get ready. Christina Harding, would you come, please? We're going to do this later for some others, because I'm not sure that we're not trying to catch everybody today. I just wanted to say congratulations to Christina. She graduated Saturday. Is that correct? Tell us what where you graduated from and your prestigious position of graduation.
Pastor's so sweet. He is. He's so cute.
Thank you.
I know,
bless
right?
His heart.
Increase. But I graduated from Florida Gulf Coast University. I was on a full-ride scholarship, so everything was paid for, books, everything, and I had leftover money to pay for my car. It's so cute.
Hallelujah.
I graduated magna cum laude, which is the second highest honors for FGCU. I'm pretty sure that's going to change because I just made the president's list and good stuff. I was taking 18 credits, which is the maximum. I was also interning at the public defender's office in Lee County, working with incarcerated clients. I was also working, I was everywhere.
Hallelujah, that's
but,
good.
God has been so good over the past 2 years that I've been at FGCU, and it's been a hard battle. Like, the enemy's been hitting me hard, especially my health, but I praise God that, you know, I'm under his blood, and
amen.
I remain there. In
God
the
bless you.
So, thank you guys for your support and love. I really appreciate y'all.
We are so proud of Christina. We just want to give her a great big hand. We want to give her this also. God bless. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Homer could tell you a whole lot more about this young lady, and he could tell you all the, you know, the juicy stuff, but we'll let him do that later when he ministers at a good point in time. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand, and if you miss somebody in that last hug-a-thon, you got just one more quick opportunity. Hallelujah. It's good to see Alex back. He's our roaming professor. He was actually on the road in Long Island giving college lectures. Is that correct? Am I right on that? College talks or whatever? Man, we're so blessed to have him. Can I get your autograph during this session right here? Okay, you can bring this forward. Hallelujah. I want to give God the glory. When was it, Friday? Friday, my little granddaughter, my beautiful, beautiful granddaughter, Aubrey, along with my other granddaughters that are up here, she was on the playground. She was hanging upside down on the monkey bars and slipped and went straight to the ground and fell on her beautiful head. And she actually had to go to the hospital. Her mom picked her up. Her mom is a nurse, but she had to go in, and she was there for a while. She was in pain, and then she began to vomit, which is not a good sign. But we prayed, and Nana was there, and Mommy was there. And Papa was at home praying, and I got to tell you today that Aubrey is perfectly fine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, amen. Glory to God. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it so much. Amen. I don't want to forget these because some of them are just really vitally important. Hallelujah. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Okay? We're going to have a, I'm really looking forward to that special message that the Lord has given me, Women of the Bible. And we're not going to talk about every woman in the Bible, but we're going to talk about a lot of wonderful women in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So please, ladies, Homer's in the back heckling somebody. I love it. I wish I was back there, but I got to be up here too. Okay. The following Sunday, the Kellys are going to be with us. Michael and Sally and Cindy and his dad, Gene. But please, if you want to be blessed, come and be a part of those two a.m. and p.m. services. They are going to be, we're going to go into presence of God. It's going to be wonderful. And we're just going to soak and saturate. And that's the 21st of this month. Hallelujah. So Michael and Sally Kelly will be with us the 21st. And please be a part of that. Come tonight, all of you that are resident here, please come help us confess. We're going to be confessing, calling on the lost and over our city. It will be one that will be for, it'll be a few weeks before we actually, almost a month before we reveal, because the next Sunday is Mother's Day and everybody will have off that evening. The following Sunday will be the Kellys, and then the following Sunday, there's a marriage in Canaan of Galilee. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the economic 101 classes, those four simple classes that we taught way back in August, they are really getting some incredible. I didn't put them up for a long time because I came in here on Sunday night and I thought, oh, I don't know. I had cargo shorts on and t-shirt, and we just, you know, we were relaxed like David is this morning. I told David, I said, that's the way to come to church. He's really relaxed. Praise God. He's got his, you know, cargo shorts on, and he's just like, okay, I want to hear God, but, you know, I don't have to go in there with a pretense of looking good, okay? Hallelujah. Now, if you came in here and you want to look good, amen, you look good. Amen. We love you. Praise God. Those economic, somebody has already listened to all four of them, and man, they just wrote a tremendously good testimony, didn't they, Harry? And I sent that to Harry, and I said, man, this is what the fruit of your labor is producing. And somebody that really had some questions for a long time, and it was part of our, some of the guys, the millennials out in Tulsa. So we're really thankful for that. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I think that's it. For the time being, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Lord, I thank you so much for your people that are gathered here today, together with us, your eldership, people among us that are family, and through the family that is watching and will be watching through the YouTube channel. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you all the praise and glory. We can do nothing, nothing, nothing of ourselves. Our dependency is on Jesus, and we thank you for that grace for our dependency upon him. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So kingdom realities. We're going to talk about kingdom realities this morning, and we've been on that subject on and off. I think last Sunday we were Onward Christian Soldier, and we're going to go back to that. When, I'm not sure. We've got so many different rivers running through us right now, and that is a really good thing. And so just pray, and if you pray in tongues and meditate God's word, that happens. And it'll happen to you, and it probably is happening to many of you right now. Our whole going forward presently is to bring to a forward front our position of the reality of his kingdom and to walk in that reality like never before. And so we are doing our best as we possibly can to line on line, precept on precept, by the word, by prophecy. I mean, anything we're stewing this, we're frying it, we're baking it, we're sauteing it, we're doing everything possible, flipping it in the pan in every way, so to get the reality over to you, so that you're able to say, okay, I see it, and I'm not only seeing this, but I'm being absorbed by it. It's got to become you. So all this is this theory. It's all really just theory. It's just theory unless you begin to have a place absent from this place where you engage in it. It's all just, it's just like going to class and getting statistics, or just, it's just, it becomes irrelevant to you. The relevance of it is when you spend time with him, and then the thing that has been being imputed in you becomes part of you as it's nurtured in his presence. It's like the Holy Ghost is like the solvent. He's like the grease in the gears. All of it is just words on paper. All of it's just speech, unless you go from this place and you spend time with him, and in all that, he makes all this a reality. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It becomes a reality. It becomes, okay, this is not what Pastor Bronk's after. It's what the Holy Ghost is after in me. Hallelujah. So living inside of kingdom reality will, I will say this, and I'm going to read some of this from my, a lot of this just from straight up notes, and then to help me stay on point as much as possible. Living inside of kingdom, of a kingdom reality, will produce kingdom works. Amen? In other words, if you live inside of the reality of it, or you could say the word revelation, then it will begin to produce the works thereof. It will begin to produce the fruit thereof. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is important. This has never been a debate around here. But because of what we're about to say, just if there's anything that needs to be tweaked at all in your thinking, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are one and the same. Okay? In other words, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read, you'll get numerous kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. They're interchangeable. There's well-meaning preachers. They'll tell you, they'll try to dissect. They can't. You can't logistically and really, according to the whole everything, you cannot make the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven two separate things. The kingdom of heaven, there's a literal place called heaven in the kingdom of God, okay? And that kingdom of God is, that kingdom of heaven is, well, we're going to go into that. But all I want to say is they're one and the same, okay? Don't try to read them from Scripture as two different parts, okay? Because it'll get you mixed up, and it's just not truth. Matthew 4:17. I can read these because I have them in front of me, but why don't you see it out of your Bible, okay? Matthew 4:17. This just says, case, this is just a point of what I just said. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What did he say? The kingdom of what? Heaven is at hand. In other words, right now, the kingdom is at hand. If something is, okay, my iPad right now is at what? Hand. Can I reach it? Yes, I can pick it up. It is at hand. When anything is at hand, it's present tense. Okay, so he says this kingdom of, he's not talking about, and my point is not to make a point. I mean, there's just dozens and dozens of scriptures I could say. The marriage or they're synonymous, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. But Jesus said, this is not a futuristic thing. This is not when you die, pie in the sky. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is right now, it's at hand. Everybody got that part? Okay, easy enough. Matthew 4:17, from that time, Jesus began to preach, we'll read it again, and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Speaking God's word unto, now listen very carefully here, because it's vital, and you'll get it, but it's vital that you get the underlining or the every part of this. Speaking God's word unto the transformation of our belief system is one legitimate and vital form of kingdom reality. I'll read that again, and then I'll explain it, because I've already heard it. I've heard it when he gave it to me, or I heard it when I wrote down. So, but you haven't heard it, so you need to absorb it. Speaking God's word, like, okay, if I'm going to confess something, okay? Speaking God's word unto a transformation. In other words, I speak it until it transforms me. Okay, I might not have totally believed it to start with, but I keep speaking it. That's what we do on Sunday night, okay? We do that. We're in here speaking God's word or things that are based on God's word, and every once in a while there's probably a scripture in there, but they're all can be backed up by scripture. But speaking God's word unto the transformation of our belief system is one legitimate and vital, in other words, it's very important, form of kingdom reality. So how many would say amen to that, okay? I believe that's truth. If you don't believe something, you can speak it long enough with your heart. Eventually, you're going to believe it, okay? Starts out with head, then it goes to heart, okay? Amen. That's all we're trying to do. This boils down simple. The reason why we haven't had the productivity that we want up to this point, as in the fruit of people being healed and miracles, is that it's still, with all of our good teaching, it's still mostly in our head. It's going to drop from head hope to heart hope. Hallelujah. Head faith, heart faith. Amen. So that's what we do on Sunday nights. And when we do that on Sunday night, there's two things that we're doing. We're actually, as we're speaking and Gay's up here leading us or whoever at the time, mostly all the time Gay. But when we're doing that, we're moving the mountain. For years we've been speaking to the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all that stuff. That's part of our confession. That's not all of what we do. But it actually moves the mountain. That's Mark chapter 11. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith, meaning a continual process, saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he sends, and continually says or saith. Therefore I say unto you. So he goes on. He teaches us. So that's a process. It's a process, and it moves the mountain, but it also transforms our thinking, okay? So the more that we do it, and the more that we do it with faith, the more it transforms our thinking. Jesus, we're going to get to some other scripture here, but these are just really good points. Jesus lived inside a kingdom of heaven reality. He lived. Now, is Jesus our prototype? You better say amen, and you just say yes. Jesus lived inside a kingdom of heaven reality. He was not, now get this, he was not trying to confess himself into that reality. He was confessing out of that reality. Do you understand? Jesus was not trying to get to a place by the things that he said. Now, did we not just agree that in that transformation process, it's a vital, and it's also legitimate. It's legit. When you don't believe, keep standing until you believe. But the higher form of belief is not confessing unto, it's confessing out of. You got it? It's confessing out of that kingdom reality. In other words, you have arrived in that place. Everything around you is real. Everything that you say is real. Speaking God's word is a result of living inside a kingdom of God reality is even a higher level of maturity in our sonship. The transformation goes from transforming to being transformed. That's where we're headed, and that's where we say amen to. This is the level of sonship Jesus walked in and expects us to come to now. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all are really doing good. Really doing good, and the more that y'all do even better, the better you'll help me. Amen. Amen. Say it, Pastor. Pray. Thank you. Hallelujah. Sin and sickness have no place in this kingdom. The reality of their absence is interchangeable. It's interchangeable. Whether you're talking about sin or sickness, it's interchangeable in their absence because of the atonement, because of what Isaiah 53 accomplished for us. Hallelujah. In other words, the church hitherto for has only had grasp, hold on to one part of the reality of the atonement, and that is salvation. But salvation in Isaiah 53 and everything else correlating in the Gospels was it was all-encompassing. In other words, if you're saved, you should be walking in health. If you're saved, you should be able, not only be healed, but you should be able to get other people healed. They were both one and the same. It was like they could not be segregated or separated. They were just one and the same. Hallelujah. And that is really, let's look at it in your Bible. Matthew chapter 9. Thank you, Lord. And verse 1. And I'll read, starting verse 1, it says here, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city," that's Capernaum, "and behold, they brought unto him a sick man, a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed." Now, this is a familiar portion of Scripture to you guys. "And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, what did he expect at that point in time? He expected him to just get up at that point, okay? And that's what happened. He delivered what the man was wanting. "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing the thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven, or to say, Arise and walk? In other words, what's the difference? There's no difference. But that you may know, in other words, because y'all don't think like I think, and you're not walking in a kingdom of reality. And of course, there was no really, credibly, there could nobody be except him. Even his disciples were not yet born again. But Jesus is right now he's teaching kingdom principles. And he's saying this is how the kingdom thinks. The kingdom thinks like this, thy sins be forgiven thee, and say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive. Then he just said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy house. And he arose and departed to his house, and the multitude saw it, and they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto who? Men. Do you know he did this as a man? Hallelujah. He didn't do this as deity. Now, deity's in there, but he didn't do it as deity. He did it, then thank God Matthew said it like that, but of course he would have, because that's how the Holy Spirit told him to say it. He gave that power unto men. Hallelujah. He gave that power unto you ladies. He gave that power unto us. And in his thinking, and this is where Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death." Now, three things, the three ands, and they love, he said, and they overcame him by how? By the blood of the Lamb. That's not, okay, we've gone through all that, and I'm not going to teach that right now. That's not pleading the blood, okay? I'm not trying to get on to anybody. I'm just saying it's far more reaching, far more powerful, there's far more undertows there, far more foundation. That's all of the understanding of what we have become in the kingdom of God when we stepped over that line of the blood and came into everything that the kingdom avails and affords to us. And that's what Jesus was saying. Look, the kingdom that is to come and the kingdom that is at hand, when you get forgiven, you also get healed too. And if you get forgiven, you get to be the applicant or the person delivering the healing. Hallelujah. That's hallelujah. That's good stuff. I like that. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited. Jesus lived inside of a kingdom of heaven reality. Heaven, now this is just, get this part, and you will. Heaven is a place, but it is also a kingdom. Okay? I like the way Homer's been talking about kingdom. He's not been challenging us about the revival. He's keep on saying revival, but it's more than that. It's the kingdom come. Heaven is a place, but it is also a kingdom. That kingdom extends past, okay, I'll say it like this. That kingdom extends past Heaven City. Okay, Heaven City is what? New Jerusalem. That's a place. Yeah, that's a literal place, okay? Kingdom of Heaven extends on earth. Hallelujah. There's always better ways, but you know, the best way that I can think of right now is that you can go to Kansas City. Now, I know there's a Kansas City, Missouri, and it extends over, you know, that's two parts there. But you can go to Kansas City, but Kansas City is also in Kansas. In other words, there's a city of Kansas City, but there's a far bigger geographical location. It's Kansas. Kansas City is in Kansas. There's a heaven proper, okay, if you want to put it that way. There's a heaven proper, but there is a kingdom of heaven that reaches all the way to us here on this earth. Hallelujah. And that's what we're supposed to be living in. You don't have to turn there, but Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? And it's simple. It just says, where the word of a king is, there's power. Now, did our king, did our executive, did he leave his word here for us? Go ye. Lay hands on the sick. So there is power wherever this kingdom is at. His power is on us to perform whatever he said that we can do. Amen. And I like the way Ecclesiastes says, basically, I'm paraphrasing now, who'll question that? In other words, there's no argument against that. Well, there is arguments, but there's really no argument as far as he's concerned. Hallelujah. Let's go to a classic example of what we're talking about. Classic, classic, classic. Let's go to probably the most read portion of Scripture in the Bible, John 3. And this is a dialogue that Jesus is having with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, of course, it says here. He was not antagonistic. He really was a good man. Nicodemus was, and he probably, you can find later in Scripture, him speaking up. I'm sure he was, Nicodemus was probably one of the ones in the 120 in the upper room. I mean, he probably was one of the first converts. So he's a good guy. He's really hungry here. So chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 1 and begin where Jesus is really talking about something very, very classic to us, and that is born again. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I got to stop right there. Are you looking forward to the day when people say, you know what? I know. I know that you must be a Christian. There's something different about you because nobody could do all this stuff that you've been doing except God be with him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 3, said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, he just tells him something right there that blows his mind. And, of course, I don't have to explain to this bunch what born again is. But it was really something strange to hear born again to this man Nicodemus. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Of course, he's thinking like secular thinking would be, and be born. And Jesus said, truly or verily, the word verily is like saying, I certify this, truly. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. In other words, your mom and daddy gave you your first birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, the Holy Ghost births spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can these things be? Jesus said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? In other words, here's the top of the class. This is a teacher of teachers. This man sits probably on the Sanhedrin. He's a really smart guy, and he knows the law. He studied the law for many, many years. Probably has what we would have an equivalent of a doctorate in the law. Art thou a master? Master means he really, really was that of that doctorate degree. And knowest not these things? Truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak that which we know and testify that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath, now get this, ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now this is interesting. Jesus says unto him, the Son of Man, as he's talking to this man and he's having a dialogue with him, and he says, okay, he talks to him about being born again. The man asks him a legitimate question, how does this happen? Because he's thinking on the level of natural birth. And Jesus says, basically, no, scratch that. That's not what I'm talking about. This is a spiritual birth. But the amazing part of how Jesus lived inside of this kingdom, walked in it, talked in it, and he wasn't confessing himself as in, he wasn't trying to confess himself into a reality. He was living out of that reality and saying the things that he saw from that reality. And he said something like this. He said, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. What? Wait a minute, Jesus, you're right here. Now, notice also, so this is just a point of fact, a point of truth. He didn't say the Son of God. He said the Son of Man. He's just clarifying the human me is in heaven. The human me, what? The Son of Man is in, and I know by now Nicodemus is saying, he's crazy. He's crazy. I don't know why I come here tonight to talk to this guy. He's gone. He doesn't think. I mean, how does he get all this stuff done? Because he doesn't have good sense. He thinks he's someplace else. Jesus, the Son of Man, was in heaven because he was living inside a kingdom. He was living inside of the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't in kingdom heaven. He wasn't in heaven proper in that place. But he was inside. He so was living inside of the kingdom of heaven, the reality, that when he spoke, everything that he did was accelerated or was given out of that place of kingdom of heaven. And for him to say, I am in heaven, this is a close call here. Okay, positional truths are absolute truths, okay? But sometimes when we talk about a positional truth, sometimes if we don't understand the power of a positional truth, it'll take away and it'll have a mystique in it, like, okay, that's really neat, but it's not a reality. Jesus, to him, he was not confessing, like to have people say, the things that he would say was not so people would go, whoa, that's pretty deep. That he wasn't, there was no impressionable attitude towards Christ to say, I'm going to say this so you'll think outside of the box. It was just absolutely where he was at. Even the Son of Man that is in heaven. In other words, if you live in a place, see, we don't know how to think. I read, when I was studying this, I was reading out of, I actually went to the actual transliteration of the Greek, and then I went to the transliteration breaks it down and puts it in English, just like, but then I read the actual word-for-word Greek, and the actual word-for-word Greek says, in heaven, I'm in heaven. The Amplified, one part of it, they don't know what to do. People don't know what to do with statements like that. The Amplified says, and the one that came from heaven. He wasn't saying, it did say one part, the one that came down, but when he said, I'm in heaven, he meant, I am in heaven. Some of you are like, okay. Hallelujah. We are still like Nicodemus. He has told us heavenly things, and we don't believe him. His words are strange to us. They're still strange to us. Now, here's the deal, okay? If the world is having, here's where you can start thinking, maybe not more highly of yourself than you all, but if the world is having a hard time understanding how you think and talk, then you're probably starting to live inside of a kingdom of God reality. Hallelujah. Now, let me take it one step further. If most Christians are having a hard time understanding how you think and talk, you are probably starting to live inside of a kingdom reality. Hallelujah. Say it, Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, most people now are starting to think, it's hard to talk to people now sometimes because they think you're crazy. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:1. We'll look at some more. You having a good time? Thank you, Jesus. All the glory to God. Let's look at an executive order that he gave his disciples, and then we'll look at his reality as a result. Matthew 10:1 says this, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner. Everybody say all manner. All manner. I like hearing you say that. All manner of sickness, and say all manner of diseases. All manner. Does all manner mean all manner? Yes, it does. Hallelujah. Y'all are a good class. I appreciate that. The executive order was given to his disciples, but here's even the difference then and now. Now, he's teaching kingdom principles, but the executive order was given to them, go out, do this. I've given you power. And he gave them executive power. But now we've got resident power. Okay? The cross has come. We've been born again. He laid a mantle on them. He put it inside of us. Hallelujah. The power generator is not coming from an executive order. It's coming. Yes, it is. It's coming from, he said, that's the exousia. That's the authority that he's given us. But the generator to create that power is coming from us. They didn't even have, boy, we're living in something far better. Hallelujah. We have received the executive order, and the power is resident within us. Now again, and if there's anything, and I know this is a tweak, and it's small, and it's like, but I was hearing Gary say it, and I was like, that's really good, but now it's starting to really get, it's starting to be bronc, it's starting to be bronc. We are not called, I'm not called to go pray for anybody. I'm called to go get them healed. I'm called to go get them up. All manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Don't pray for the sick, heal the sick. Right that same chapter, you don't have to go far. Jesus said in verse 7, well, words in red, verse 5, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans, enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was their assignment at the moment. And as you preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick. Everybody say, heal the sick. That doesn't mean pray for them. Say that. That doesn't mean pray for them. Okay, I'll read. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let me say this. There is a certain amount of pleasure with God about you and I just praying for someone. There has to be a certain amount of pleasure of obedience, because I hope so, because I pray for a lot of people that didn't get healed, or they temporarily got healed. I got to tell you this. I hate to tell you this, but we are. It's never that we've ever swept anything under the rug. That's never been. But I want to tell you things candidly up front, so that we'll have a more of a vision of what's not allowable and where we're headed. That sergeant that we prayed for Carl, and he recovered for 3 weeks, he later died. That's not acceptable. That is not acceptable with us. And there is a certain amount of pleasure with God when you pray for somebody. Just the obedience of we're trying to be obedient. Okay. Why there's pleasure? Because that you're already in a percentile of obedience. Number one, most of the church doesn't even understand that it's His will to heal all the time, every time, all manner of diseases. They don't understand that. A lot of the church is still praying a dead, dated, dumb, 3 D's, okay, prayer, if it be thy will. You're not going to get it done like that, if it be thy will. We know, I can give you hundreds, okay, I can tell you, if I got time and you want to sit down, I can, boom, 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 I can give you a whole lot of this, blah, 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 blah. This is absolutely His will to heal every time, all the time, in any situation. Hallelujah. So where we get an accolade by doing it, okay, that's a part pat on the back for doing it. But really a big capital B, capital U, capital T, but. This is... I want to say this. There's a certain amount of pleasure. I'll just read some of my notes here. Praying for somebody, small percentiles of Christians never ever do that. But a time comes when, here's the vital importance here. A time comes when a participation trophy is no longer acceptable. It's no longer acceptable. See, JoJo, they couldn't be here this morning. They wanted to be. But I went to JoJo. He's my grandson. And he plays, it's not T-ball anymore. It's coach pitch right now. And he's really doing good. He's really hitting really good. And he looks like, some of you guys won't, I mean, a lot of you ladies won't know, but he, the guys know that he looks like Big Poppy standing up there compared to some of his friends. I mean, he's the biggest kid on the team. And he can slug the ball. He does good. I went to his last game yesterday. We had a ceremony. They had the trophy giveaway. It was a pizza bash at a pizza place. I love that. That's good. Okay. Everybody got a participation trophy. And that's good for right now. He's six. That's perfectly fine because it's introducing them into a sport, and if you don't like something, you're not going to do it. So generate some the juices. Get them kind of like, I like this. This is fun, and it's perfectly proper and fine to say, okay, just by participating, you got a. You know, a trophy, okay? That's adolescence, okay? Now, what I'm going to expect in the next couple of years is that he goes into a place, and I'm not going to like it so much, but it's necessary that he has some losses, and he understands, see, mamas don't like it, but everybody don't like it when the big boy on the field is crying. Hey, if Tim Tebow can cry, I can cry too, okay? It's good for him. I'm not saying now, but it's good for him to cry. It's good for him to, whether cry or not, to know we lost. We don't get a trophy today. I don't believe once you go from adolescence to juvenile, to the juvenile, to the adulthood, folks, we're past participation trophies. I'm talking about us in here, okay? Because we've had line on line. Are you thinking he's mad at you if you don't get it? No. I get an accolade of I love you every day when I'm in his worship. He's pleased with me. But we're talking about doggy years in here. You know what doggy years are? They say a dog lives about 1 to 7. One of our years is like 7 of theirs. And I don't know if that's true or not. But it's kind of, if you watch, you get a dog... 8 to 10 years old, they're getting pretty, you know, they're getting up there. The doggy years in here, it's a 1 year. I don't think doggy years is correct. I don't think we're 1 to 7. I think we're more than that. In other words, a pat on the back saying, okay, here's your participation trophy. You went and prayed. God bless you. They died. Glory to God. It's over. It's no longer, and I'm not trying to, I mean, if you're in adolescence, I mean, if you just start out in the thing and we have to begin to, and we're going to have a tremendous, and we do have a tremendous discipleship program, and we tell everyone, look, okay, you prayed, you just were obedient. God bless you. Amen. You're doing what Christ, but listen, you don't stay in this thing 5, 6, 7, 10 years. I'm sorry, your Savior would just love the daylights out of you if you were in His presence. But if you're asking Him about where you should be versus what we're supposed to be doing, present tense, you're not going to get any accolades from Him. You're not going to get a participation. Well, here, you've been trying, buddy. I'm going to say myself, but I believe there's others in here that's saying, look, we are not in a participation trophy mode. We're not in a place where a good old college effort, praise God, well, at least we tried and they died. That's no longer acceptable. We say, well, what can we do about it? We must forge further than we've ever done before. We must take that which we know and make it more applicable to our life. We must live in a reality of the kingdom and say, this stuff is real. What I say has implications for my future. What I do has implications for my future. It's a real thing that we live in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. You still love me. Kingdom reality with Jesus is the way that He thought. Matthew chapter 9, let's look there. That's just one chapter over from where you're at. Hallelujah. Maybe you'll go out of here and the only thing that you'll get out of this message is we don't live in doggy years. Or we live in doggy years accelerated. Amen? Well, so what's a doggy year? Because so like if you're in here a year, you're 7. If you're in here 2 years, you're 14. If you're in here 3 years, you're already a young adult, 21. If anybody in here is 10 years old, including myself in this message, you've been hearing this message 10 years, we should be doing the works of Christ. We are behind. But He loves us. Do you love me? I love you. You're looking at me like, okay, well then, okay. I didn't come here for this. I'll just go home. I'll pack up. No, I'm. Jesus came. Let's see. Let's look at what verse do I want? I want verse 23. Now, this is the story where this ruler comes to him and says, my daughter's dying. Come pray for her. He's forging through the city. People are touching him. The woman with the issue of blood touches him. She gets healed. And then he gets to this man's house. He's obviously a ruler. And verse 23 says, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Thank you, sir. I just heard Homer say that's a kingdom of reality. Hallelujah. And he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in, took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. Hallelujah. People that are living inside a kingdom reality talk stupid. And they're not trying to be impressionable. They just are who they are. It is what it is. And it doesn't correlate with natural. He said, no, the way that I absolutely see her, I'm not trying to generate your faith right now or build you up by saying, oh, what is he talking about? He's saying, this is what I see. She's not dead. She's not dead. And they're like, he's crazy. He's crazy. Hallelujah. John 11, John 11. Of course, this is when Jesus, this is Lazarus when he died. And you've already guessed, same kind of words. And Jesus was, verse 8, he says, "And his disciples said unto him, Master, of the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest hither again," because he said, "I'm going to go back to where Lazarus is at." "And Jesus said unto them, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. These things said he. And after that he saith, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." Was he talking kingdom principle there, or kingdom reality? He just absolutely saw it that way. This man's not dead. He's just asleep. "Then said his disciples, Lord, if he's asleep, he shall do well. And howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. And then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." I bet Jesus, like, "I got to come out. Okay, I got to come down. I got to come out and come out. I got to come out and come down for a minute. Okay, you guys are making me say stuff. Okay, I'm gonna say it like you know, okay?" So a lot of times we gotta say it like most Christians understand. Because we're living in one place, and then we got to break it down. And they're like, and we have to, Jesus was literally saying, okay, let me break this down for you. Because this, let me talk in the realm that you're, I said it in the kingdom of heaven realm where I'm at, but then I'm going to break it down to where you're at. Okay, where you're at, he's dead. Where I'm at, he's still alive. He's just sleeping. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Why don't you stand with me? Hallelujah. Did you get anything this morning? I did. You guys were a great crowd. We appreciate it, Jesus. Thank you so much. Tonight at 6, Father, we love you so much. Lord, we thank you that we are living, present tense, in a kingdom reality. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. The kingdom of heaven is now. And we praise you. We give you all the glory. We pray that this word sown in all of our hearts will bear fruit, that it will go deep, deep into the soil of our heart, and that, Lord, that it will be maturated by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, that you'll continue to bring us forth. I thank you, Jesus. I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said amen. God bless you. We love you. Amen.